Well, I desire your prayers this afternoon. I will confess to you that when I thought about the service, I thought, well, I won't have to take care of that. I kind of looked to this as being something that one of the older ministers is supposed to take care of, and I don't consider myself in that lot yet. But as I was there this morning, the Lord started talking to me about some thoughts, and at least for this first part, maybe if one of the other brothers has something for the second part, then that would be good too. But I felt like that the Lord gave me some thoughts I'd like to share with us. I think it's important as we enter into a service like this that we be reminded of something that Jesus told his disciples. And that's in Matthew, the 18th chapter, in the 20th verse. He said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." As we enter into this ordinance service this afternoon, I think it's important for us to remember that Jesus is here and that he's watching what we're doing. I don't know how your mind works and what you think. But sometimes when I sit in services, not even just services like this, I think about the Lord in this scripture. And in my mind, I picture him walking up and down the aisles. Maybe sitting over here by Brother John, coming over here sitting by somebody else, and coming over here sitting by a different one. Come up here, sit down there, Brother Michael. I can almost just picture the Lord, and I don't know, maybe he stands up here. I don't know how he does it. But I can just picture him among us. And in my mind, I like to see him come along, and he sit down beside you, and he just kind of put his arm around you. I love you. Whisper some words of encouragement in our hearts. We think sometimes, well, you know, I got this thought. And I think sometimes the Lord's right there just saying, you know, I'm going to tell you a little something here. I don't know how it is. But, you know, I think sometimes if the Lord could open our eyes like he did Elisha's servant, we'd see a lot of things. There's some things that I'm sure that's why the Lord doesn't let us see them, when you see the host of evil around and all that. But, you know, I think sometimes that there's probably a host of angels also that's looking on and inquiring, what are they doing here? They've never experienced some of these things that you and I have. And so they're watching. Perhaps there's even a cloud of witnesses. Part of that cloud that comes. Now, you give me some liberty here this afternoon. But in my mind, I can see some of those that perhaps were right here on this ground. Faithful men and women of God. Those that hazarded their lives for the gospel. Those that suffered unto death. And that as the saints gathered together in our services, sometimes I can almost see the Lord saying, you know, I want you to go down. So-and-so is going to be there. And he knows. If you're here and you're afflicted, and there's somebody that's gone on, that's been faithful, I can almost, now again, give me liberty here. I can see the Lord saying, I need this witness here. They're going to be in service, and I want you to just go right up there and sit right beside them and whisper in their ear, it's worth it. It's worth it. Hold fast, because I was there and I went all the way, and I can tell you it's worth it. I don't know how the Lord does it, but dear ones, there's one thing that we know. And the scripture says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst. Dear ones, the Lord is here this afternoon, and he's observing what you and I are doing. But not only, there's something even more important than that. He's observing why we're doing what we're doing. If you didn't even feel like coming this afternoon, but you pressed out to do it, do you know, dear ones, the Lord knows that. Every sacrifice, he sees it. If there's another reason that you're here, and I trust that there's not, but it's like, well, I really wanted to be so-and-so, but I'm not. Somebody felt like I should be here. You know, he knows that as well. He's observing why we are doing what we're doing here this afternoon. He's watching. And dear ones, He knows the very thoughts and intents of our hearts. And so, as we enter into this service, I believe it's important for us to recognize that God is observing what we're doing. You know, as the Lord told Samuel, He said He's not just looking from an outward appearance. He's looking on the heart. He said, man looketh on the outward, but God looketh on the heart. He knows the very thoughts and intents of our heart. And dear ones, as the disciples found out on the road to Capernaum, it's impossible to hide anything from the Lord. And I'd like to read this in Mark, the 9th chapter, the 33rd verse. It says, and He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, He asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way? But they held their peace. For by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Now that'd be a little awkward, wouldn't it? Here you have been walking along the way, arguing among yourselves about who's going to be the greatest. And then the Lord say, what was it that you all were talking about? What would you say? It's no wonder that they held their peace, isn't it? But you know, dear ones, I believe that if more people in our world today could really recognize just how awkward it's going to be to stand before the Lord and give an account of the things that they do and say, there'd be more holding their peace here in our world today. But for whatever reason, they don't. And so there's another lesson that Jesus gave to us in this account. And when you look at this, it's important for us to recognize here what happened. When Jesus was talking to these men, it was the disciples. Now, I want us to get this. This was the disciples. These were saved men. These were people that Jesus was using to work for Him. But there was something about them. They had not come to the place of perfection yet. They were not filled with the Spirit and power of God. And so they were acting just like we just talked about. They were acting and reacting in carnal ways at times. And you know, dear ones, I believe it's important for you and I to recognize this fact. Because there are also going to be those just like that right amongst us. In our assemblies here at Monarch, in our congregations at home, even when we go out into the world and we meet people that really, they're saved and living to all that they know and understand. But because they haven't come to that place of a fullness of the understanding of what all God has, they may act and react in ways just like the disciples did. And dear ones, what's important for us to recognize is that when we see this, we, like Christ, need to understand what their condition is. And we need to recognize that the reason they're doing the things that they're doing is because they haven't come to that fullness of understanding of what God has. And so what we need to do is by our examples, is we need to show them the way that God expects a child of God to live. And dear ones, there's something else that's important for us to get a hold of. Just because we tell someone, and just because we show them, does not mean that they have the power to live that way. They are going to have to experience, the infilling of the Spirit of God in their lives before they can live a life that is Christ-like. Well, Lord help us. I want to look now. John, the 14th chapter. Well, I'll just read this first. In the 6th verse, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Dear ones, this is what Christ wants us to recognize. It's only through Him that you and I can come to the Father. Those people that are out there in the world that are acting the way they are, it's because they don't know the Father. they're going to have to come to him. Now, the disciples here in this account in Mark, when they were arguing among themselves, they were there and they were acting in these ways, and it was because there was things that were just not, the Lord hadn't been able to reveal to them the fullness of this. I'd like to turn over to Luke. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, the 24th verse, you'll find once again the disciples. Remember, Jesus had already taught them. He'd taken a child and he'd taught them a lesson of humility after they were arguing before among themselves about who would be the greatest. And here in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in the 24th verse, and it said, there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Now this was here at the Last Supper, just before Christ was crucified. Just before he went to the place where he stood before Pilate, he was beaten. A crown of thorns was placed on his head. He was spit upon. He had to carry that heavy cross. And he had the nails put in his hands and his feet. This was just before all this. And Jesus, knowing all of this that was about to happen, here he was. And what was his disciples doing? Arguing among themselves about who would be the greatest. Now, I would like for us, just for a moment this afternoon, to put ourselves in Jesus' place. Have you ever been faced with a very serious situation in your life? Maybe faced a real critical time in your life that you had to make decisions that the weight of it was so much it was about to crush you. And as you're fasting and praying and looking to the Lord for these things, and you happen to be around somebody, maybe go to church, and you have a heavy burden on your heart, and somebody comes up to you with some little trivial thing. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Somebody looked at me in a way that, have you ever had that? How did you feel? Do you know, preachers feel that way too. Sometimes you're dealing with heavy burdens, souls that are in deep, deep trouble. And you're trying and seeking the Lord. Lord, what? How can we help these souls? It's so dire. And then somebody comes along and they want to tell you some burden that just seems like so trivial. How do we feel? Do you ever feel frustrated? Is that all you have to worry about? Can you see how Jesus could have felt here, dear ones? As he was there and he was facing this, this was a critical time in Jesus' life. And he had the weight of the sins of the whole world resting upon him. And here he was, and his disciples were doing this. Do you know he could have just reproved them sharply and said, how many times am I going to have to tell you? But you know he didn't do that. Do you know that's what all this was about? When I see the way that Christ handled his disciples, it speaks volumes to me of the grace and mercy of our God. Of the ability of him to give us power, dear ones, that when you and I face these times in life, the Lord has grace to pour out upon us that is greater than you and I can even imagine. Jesus knew that his disciples did not have the power to be able to conduct themselves in the manner in which that he wanted them to. And so he took and he began to show them the way. He began to show them the way that they should conduct themselves. I want to notice in John, the 13th chapter, in the first verse it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come and that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. Do you know, dear ones, we've already heard about that love in this meeting. Jesus' love was not a temporary love. It was not a love that was conditional on how you treat me, I love you. But he was willing to go all the way, even to give his life. And he did that. And dear ones, this is the kind of love that Jesus wants you and I to have. And this is why that Jesus did what he did, was to convey to you and I, this is the way. This is the way that I want you to walk in. This is what I want you to do. This is not just a formal thing that we do up here, dear ones. There are things that Jesus wanted to instill within us, that there's something weighty. There's something that's very critical. For you and I to be called Christ-like, we need to conduct ourselves as Jesus conducted himself. In John, the 13th chapter, in the second verse, "And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Do you believe that Jesus knew what Judas was about to do? I believe he did. He knew all about what Judas was about to do, and he knew what it was going to cost him personally. But when you read this, what did he do? He took the towel, and he girded himself, and he knelt by all the other disciples but Judas. He didn't, did he? He knelt down before each one of them and washed their feet, even Judas. Dear ones, Lord, help us. He's watching. He's observing what we're doing here this afternoon. If there's anyone in here that we would not be willing to wash their feet, I want to challenge you this afternoon to get a real vision of what Christ did. I want to challenge you this afternoon to recognize what he was trying to tell us. There's got to be something greater than this. Why did he do it? He didn't do it because he had to. He was the Son of God. But he did it because he loved them. In John, the 18th chapter, in the 37th verse, Pilate, when he was standing there before Pilate, Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." The reason he did it, dear ones, was not because he had to. It was because his purpose in coming into this world was to show you and I a better way. We see the wickedness, we see the hatred, we see the animosity between brethren and all the things that are happening in our world. And Jesus came to this earth for this purpose, to deliver man from sin and show us a better way. And dear ones, unless you and I are fully persuaded of our purpose and our calling this afternoon, we're going to draw back when our time of suffering comes. When we get to that place where, oh, wait a minute, that's the one that said all those things about me, I think I'll just slip out the door and go another way. Unless we really understand our purpose and what God has called us to, you and I will draw back from doing what God would have us to do. I want to turn now to John, the 13th chapter. In John, the 13th chapter, in the 6th verse, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, doest thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. Ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. I think there's something that it's important for us to get from this. Dear ones, just as Peter did not understand why Christ was doing what he was doing, the world around us is not going to understand why we do some of the things that we do. Peter looked at Christ and it seemed foreign to him. Have you ever done things that the world looked on you and said, why would you do that? Take this afternoon. It's hot. I'm thankful that the Lord has helped it to be as cool as it is. But why would we gather here? The world will look at this and say, why are you doing that? There's a lot cooler places and things that you could be doing. Dear ones, Jesus is observing why we're doing what we're doing this afternoon. It's not because somebody told us, well, you've got to be here at 2 o'clock on this afternoon because this is a requirement. You have to be there. Nobody told you that, did they? I hope they didn't. We're doing it because we love the Lord. And dear ones, that very principle underlies everything that we do in our service to God. Do you realize that the world looks at us in our modest dress and all that, and they don't understand why we're doing what we're doing? But dear ones, we do it because we love the Lord. And we love our brother. We love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we love them as Christ did. And we're willing to suffer even unto death if it be necessary for souls. Peter didn't understand all that at the time. And other people don't understand it. But dear ones, Jesus did it anyway because he loved him. He told us to do the same. John here in the 13th chapter, in the 12th verse, he said, so after he had washed their feet and taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If thy then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. As we go now to our separate places to wash one another's feet, I want to encourage us to go with the knowledge that Jesus is there. He's watching. He's observing what we're doing and why we're doing it. And not only today, but as we go from here, dear ones, may the Lord help us to recognize that what he instituted here was intended not just for this service, but for every day of our lives. The love and the willingness to sacrifice ourselves for our neighbor, for our brother, for our sister. It's a foundation principle that affects everything that the Church of God teaches. And dear ones, we must have it. We must have it down in our heart. We must have this willingness because this is the example that Christ left for you and I. Appreciate your attention.